try and explain a little bit of the apparent the stira that the Rambam seems to think that the first Rambam says he can't know anything about it, and then he tries to give you examples from the king, and then right playing games. So we said that it seems that the main the big chilek that he seems to be emphasizing is, like we said, that the tainig of the nefesh is really a constant state of tainig, and that in this world we don't have that kind of a thing, right? We have experiences. But he wanted to show you from the king, from the example of the king, and the example of the people who sacrifice for psychological pleasures, that we recognize the superiority of pleasures that are not dependent on immediate actions. Right? And that the psychological have that, partake more of that, that it's a setting. And you just exist with a certain feeling. But those still depend on events. But one second, let me just think one more thing over here. Right. Okay. All right. Or if to v'kach amru aleihem
hashalom? I think so.
Yeah. Ha'olam haba ein bo lo achila v'ozh lo shesiyah v'lo rechitza v'lo sicha v'lo tashmish el tzadikim yoshim v'atroseim b'rosheim v'nenim miziv hashchina. So it says that what? That olam haba will be like, in olam haba, there are no physical actions or physical pleasures. It's just the tzaddikim sitting, right, with their crowns on their heads, correct, and they're enjoying the rays, the emanations, the rays of the Shekhinah, right? So what does that mean? V'akavona ba'omru atroseim b'rosheim. So what does it mean? The crowns are on their heads, right?
Why do they have to sitting?
Yeah, it's interesting. He doesn't talk about the sitting of it, right? In the Yad, he discusses the sitting, I think. Right? In the Yad, he discusses this this statement as well. We'll take a quick look over there. But over here, he says that what? Here he explains what it means, the crowns on the heads. What does that mean? Kiyum ha-nefesh b'kiyum muskola v'heyosa hi v'hu dover echad k'mo shehizkiru b'ki ha-filosofim b'drochim sheyarech b'urom kan. Alright, this is a confusing statement here. Now what does it mean? The kiyum of the nefesh, the existence of the soul, with the kiyum, with the existence of the that which is understood, right? And they are one. So what does that mean? Now, what does that mean? It's a quick reference to a complex idea of you, right?
That which exists is that which is comprehended, like that part of you that comprehends.
Yeah. Let's see. He has it more in. Let's see. Do you have the Ram here?
Double
rifle. Never mind. I think in Yisodi Atari discusses it more.
Here they say,
I know. I think, but it's really more. In, let me see what he has in Hilchos Teshuva. He has more he talks about the soul. Well, he says ches, so that's the mimer he explains over here. Ches,
bays,
right. Right. So that's what he says. What does it mean, Yoshvin? He says, Derechida. Amr. Klomar, Tzadikim Mitsuyin Sham.
What's Chida?
Like a riddle. Below Omo, below Yagia. It means that they're there without any effort. Yeshiva means that you're some. To be Yoshev means you're existing without any
passive
exertion. Right. So it's an existence that doesn't have any, that depicts an existence without any without any physical, right. And he says, v'chein zesh omru atrosem rosheyem, klomar das. What does it mean? What's the atara? It's the das. Sheyedu shebiglolo zochu l'chayo olam haba. Mitzuyo imohen. V'hi ha'atara. That's their das, that because of which they have chayim olam haba. But I think in explains it more. Yeah, so he says in halacha gimel, says kol nefesh amura binyan zeh. This is the Rambam's. You have to get the terminology straight. What does nefesh mean? So he says ein ha'neshama hatzricha l'guf. The term nefesh, the Rambam says, is not the same as neshama. Okay, neshama, he says, needs the guf. So what does it mean? What is this? This is not the neshama.
This is that which exists independent.
Elo tzuras hanefesh. It's, now we get into those terminologies, right? It's the tzura of the nefesh. It's the form of the nefesh. Shehi adeya shehisiga. Mehabore kfi kocha. That's the knowledge that you perceive from the bore according to its ability. Vihisiga deos anefrodos. Vishara maisim. Vihat sura shabiyarnu bi inyona biperik revi milchisodia Torah. Okay, that's what I thought. It's mainly in Yisodia Torah. Let's take a look at Yisodia Torah. So he says like this. Let's see if we can get this straight. We did this a few times, right? Of course, in Chelek, in Shmona Prakam, Ram also has a lot in the beginning about the Nefesh. So let's see where this is. He says, okay, he says like this. Nefesh, ready? Nefesh kol bosar, he tsuroso shenosan lo hakel.
Which parak is this?
Parak dalet alachaches. Okay. The nefesh of every living thing, of every animal, he tsuroso shenosan lo hakel. That is its form that God gave it. So what does that mean? The nefesh the nefesh of everything, because it's called nefesh kochai, I mean right, everything living animals are considered called bali nefesh. I mean they have a nefesh. Right?
But we don't mean by that neshama.
That's correct. No, so he's saying there is a universal term nefesh, right? What does it say in Brachos? By the behemos, it says nefesh chaya. What is it? So there is a universal term nefesh. That's what the Rambam is trying to define over here, right? Huh? By Adam. But it also calls the animals by the behemos. All right, we'll find later. But anyway, so he says, the hadas hayisera hamatsuya benafsho shel adam hi tsuras haadam hasholim bedaito. And what? The das, the extra das, the das which is extra, that is found in the nefesh of Adam, right? That's the tzura of Adam. That's the complete tzura of Adam, with his das. Confusing statements, right? V'al tzura zu nemra b'tora nase adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. And with in reference to this tzura, did the Torah say, is it said in the Torah, let us make man b'tzalmenu kidmusenu? Kloma. Shetiye lo tzura, he should have the form, hayodas umasegas hadeos she'ein lohem golem. That he should have the form that knows and perceives the deos, okay, which have no substance. Kamo hamalachim. So what does it mean that man is tzalmenu, kidmusenu, right? Yeah, nefesh chaya. Yishtu amayim sheretz nefesh chaya. Well, that's way older, I think, right? It's called nefesh chaya rameses. So all these things, nefesh chaya lemina, behema. So all these things are considered nefesh. Right? So, right. Adam has an extra. Vayi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. He's also nefesh chaya. So that's what I'm trying to explain. That there isn't that universal idea of nefesh. And that's the tzura of the thing. Man's part of the definition of man, of man's nefesh, is his das. Okay? That's what he says.
But I don't understand what it is.
Yeah, we don't understand it yet.
Or is it non-physical at all? Or?
Well, let's see. So he says, what is this? What is this tzura? That's the tzura that knows and understands the deos that have no substance, like the malachim. Sheheim tzura b'lo golem. Ad sheyidme lehen. So this thing that man has, tzelem elokim, is able to perceive these non-physical existences. Okay? And that makes it similar to them. In that sense, it's similar to them. Ad sheyid melem. Ve'eno, now this is the important part. Ve'eno omer al tzura zu hanikeres le'enayim. When it says, nasa adam kitzureinu, kidmusenu, nasa adam b'talmenu kidmusenu, it's not talking about the tzura that is visible. Right? Like the mouth, or the nose, or the cheeks.
It's talking about that which is the nefesh about them.
V'shar roshem haguf, or the forms of the body.
That's the
tavnis
of the person?
The tavnis, tavniso. Shezu toar shema. I mean, the Rambam has his own, these words here. That's called the toar.
What does toar literally mean?
The form, right? But,
The way it looks.
The way it looks, yeah. Ve'ena omer al tzur. I'm sorry. Ve'ena hanefesh hamatzuya l'chol nefesh chaya. So what is tzalmenu kidmusenu? It's not the physical form. That's the toar, right? Fe'mar fe'toar. That's the toar, the appearance. And it's not the nefesh that's in every animal. Shebo ochel v'shose umolid umargish umahaher. Right, you gotta learn Shemar Brachim. But there, the Rambam says that you have five souls, right?
Right.
And those other souls are responsible for these other functions, right? Soul meaning like a force, some sort of force. Elahadas, Elahadeya, Shehitzuras Hanefesh, Ubitzuras Hanefesh, Akosa Midabra, Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. It's talking about the tzuras hanefesh. Now, he's going to keep going on, okay? The tzuras hanefesh. Keeps pushing it off a little bit. Upamim rabos tikrazos hatzura nefesh viruach. Sometimes it's called nefesh and ruach. Ulefikach tzarach lihizohe b'shmosan shlo yite adam bohen. The kol shem v'shem yilmod me'in yano. You gotta be careful to know what it's talking about from the context. Now hold on, let's do the next one. Just so we get the full idea. He says, Ein Tzuras HaNefesh HaZos. Okay, because he just said now that what does it mean? It's the Tzuras HaNefesh. Okay, so now what is the Tzuras HaNefesh? He says, this Tzuras HaNefesh is not Mechuberes Min HaYesod. Kidei Shetiporid Lohem. This thing that's the Tzuras HaNefesh, that's the Tzelem Elokim, is not composed of pieces. Okay? It's not made of the elements so that it should dissipate into them, so that it should disperse into them. The Eina Mikoach HaNeshama, and it's also not from the force of the Neshama. Ad Shetei Tzricha LeNeshama, Kamo SheHaNeshama Tzricha LeGuf. It's also not something that needs the Neshama in the way that, like, the neshama needs the guf. Okay. Ela me'eis Hashem min ha-shamayim. This thing is me'Hashem.
What do you mean when he said he doesn't need the neshama like the neshama needs the guf?
Because he's going to explain in a minute. Lefikach kishi yiporid ha-golam shehu mechubar min ha-yesodos. So therefore, when the substance of the body separates, right? Because that's made of the Yesodos. V'teyoveid ha-neshama. And then the neshama gets destroyed. Mipnei she'ena metzuya ela imaguf. Because the neshama can only exist with the guf. Okay? The neshama needs the guf for all of its activities. Lo tikaris atzura azos. This tzura, though, will not be destroyed. That's what he meant to say. It doesn't need the neshama like the neshama needs the guf. Because if it did, then when the guf goes, the neshama goes, and then it would go. Right?
Why does he only have a half minute that's attached to the neshama and not the guf itself?
That's not tied to the guf directly.
Yeah,
I guess it's a much higher function. We have to see. He doesn't explain much what the neshama is either, right? But he said like this. One more thing. Lefi she'ein atzrichul neshama maaseh. It doesn't need the neshama for its activities. Eliyodas umaseges hadeos haperudos me'agolomim. Rather, it knows and perceives and understands the deos that are separate from form, from body. V'yodas borei hakol v'omedas li'olam u'l'olmei olamim. And it knows the borei hakol. And it stands forever. Yeah. So what is it in the end of the day of year? So what is it? And let me just, I know I mentioned Shmarah. Shmarah Prakam, he also has a little bit of a... Might as well get all the information here. He also has a little bit of an explanation. Right? In the end of the first parak. In the end of the first parak, he says, Veda, he says, you should know, Shezu ha-nefesh ha-achas, Asher kodam teor, kocho se'o, ochilu keho, hi kechomer. So up to the Shmona Prakim, he's talking about the five souls, right? So there's those are the five forces. So there is what? There's the Zon, right? What are the five, briefly? There is the Zon, that's the nutritive, correct? Then there is what? Then there's the one that, that senses, right?
That's like feel?
He has a quick list over here, I can't find it, hold on. Am I going off course here? No? I mean, it's like a significant reduction in attendance just occurred here.
Is he on the phone or something?
Okay.
Like when Kyan killed, how about like killed 25% of its population?
Right. One second. Hold on. Okay, so there's the Zon, right?
14%.
That's the nutritive function. Then there's what? Then there is the Margish, that's the senses. Okay. Then there is...
Can you take emotions?
No, senses. Physical sensations. Sensation. Okay. Feeling. Margish means to feel. Then there is the imaginative, right? The imaginative, but your imagination. Okay. And what if there's three?
Yeah.
Then there is the misorer. The misorer. That's like the emotional impetus.
That's distinction of the imagination.
Oh, yeah. That's your desires. Well, that's like your desires. The misorer.
Wait, like
the five?
You have Zon.
You have the Zon is the nutritive. The Margish is the sensations. Okay. Then there is the imaginative, the Madame. Okay. And that means, like, he says, like, you can put together things in your mind that don't make any sense. You know? Like a talking tree. Then there is... That's not his example. Then there is the misorer. That means the impulses. Correct. The impulses. Okay. And then there's the hoga, the intelligence.
What do they think of these five things?
Okay. So once again. So what are these five things? In terms of reality, what are these five things? These five things are what they call the souls, because... The soul, to them, represented a force, a non-physical type of a force that drives these processes. Now, they didn't understand how the body gets energy from food.
So, like the id, the ego.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So they didn't understand how does the body derive nutrients. All these processes. So they said there must be like a centralized force. There must be some unified force that you can't really say where it is exactly, but it's a certain koach in the guf. The nefesh is like a term for like a certain koach in the guf.
They were limiting it to the non-physical. So, for instance, on that point, if they had modern science, they would not call that a nefesh.
Correct.
Because now they'd see now that no, we understand it's not physical.
I'm not exactly sure I understand this category, because nutrients is just stemming from the physical. I mean, that would seem to fall into the same category as the senses.
They didn't understand. No, it's different. It's the digestive tract. So it's all the things that keep you healthy and digest the food and help you grow and help you reproduce. What is that?
Imagination, too. I mean, that's just a distortion of reality. And don't those just stem from the emotions? I mean,
he says it's very important to try to break up the functions of the body and categorize the functions, classify the functions of the body. Because you want to study trying to study midos, and midos, he says, exist in only one category of the person. So he wants to isolate the category that they exist in. So he says, first let's go through the whole person, and then we'll be able to limit our discussion. But he's saying there's the functions of the body, he's saying, are fivefold.
Those are all tied to the physical? All five of them?
Are they tied to the physical?
You mean they die with the person?
Yeah. Well, that's what he's going to explain in the last paragraph. That's what I'm trying to get to in the last paragraph. But the five are the nutritive. Nutritive is not a great word. It's a little bit limiting. Because it has to do also with procreation and growing and all that, the digestion. all of that was one, is one unified function of the body. Okay, the physical sustenance, which also includes reproduction. Then there is the senses. How do you sense the outside world? That's a different system. It's like today we'd call it like the nervous system, the digestive system, the skeletal system. You know, different systems. All right. But it seems they held there was a certain type of a force. It's not just cells doing their little work. You know what I mean? There's something that is sort of unifying everything to work in order. And they had a limited idea of how these, you know, they didn't have such a great idea of the details of how they work, but they did recognize there's some governing system. I mean, today people would, you know, the scientists would say it's this gland regulated by your brain, whatever it is. But there always has to be something that's regulating every system. And I guess they referred to that as a nefesh, some sort of regulatory type of thing. Plus a power, some sort of force, some sort of koach. So there's a certain koach that allows you to extract nutrients out of the ground, out of the earth, out of the food. Then there's a certain koach you have to perceive the outside world. Okay, then there's a certain koach you have to take what you perceive and play with it in your mind. Okay, recall memory, to memorize things, remember what you saw, and then recall them and put them together, or separate them, and you know what I'm saying? That's the imagination. It includes the memory, and it includes your ability to recall, and your ability to put together things that don't exist.
But it's not just putting things that don't exist together.
It's also the memory. Yes, and recalling. Correct. And then there's the emotions. Right? That is what gets you to do things. That is what... Everything now is passive. Up to this point, it's pretty much... has not taken in any active... actions. But what gets you to what spurs you to motion, to action? Those are your impulses, your desires. That's a different system of governance. Okay, your impulses and your desires. And the last one is your ability to perceive, your ability to understand, your ability to he breaks it up into different categories. He breaks up the intelligence into different categories. If you're interested to hear quickly. He says that is, there's might, there's iuni, that means just pure logical thought, pure abstract ideas, right? And then there's practical, that's like engineering, right? It's a different kind of skill.
I don't see.
Completely different things, right? There's one guy could be a great theoretician, and he can't build anything. Right? You can have different types of scientists. One scientist can get to the deep ideas. Another scientist could make experiments, could produce things. Right? There's different functions of the mind. Different functions of the mind. Okay. Okay. Now it's just like this. Alright. I embrace it a little bit further, but okay. Now it's like this. Vida, you should know. Shezu anefesh ha'achas shekodam teor kochoseo chelkeo hi kechomer. So he says you should know that this nefesh that we just described is like a substance. Okay. Vasechel lo tzura. And the intelligence to it is like a form.
Are you back in Chilek?
No, I'm in the last paragraph of the first paragraph in Shmur Bargum. Vimlo susag lo tzura hare tiye mitzius ha'achon asher bo lekabolas osa ha'tzura levatala. So in other words, a person has a mind, right? Person has all of these the abilities, okay? He says, but that's all like a substance. That's all like a raw material. But there is a form that it should become. Okay? And he says, and if you have all of these things, but you never get the form, then it's like it went to waste. Uki'ilu mitzi'usa l'reik. It's like its existence was empty. V'hu amru gambalo das nefesh lo tov. Without das, person, the nefesh is not good. Meaning to say the nefesh is not complete without the das. Klomer shemitzi'us nefesh lo husko lo tzura elahi nefesh blo das lo tov. That's no good. Oval hadibor al hatsura v'achomer v'asichlim kamohim v'heach niknim ein ze mekomo. You can't discuss this now. V'ein lozet tzorech v'mashar n'rotzim l'daber al amidos. It doesn't have any application to the amidos. But the Rambam is saying like this over here. And then we can put it together with this. So he's saying like this. That what? So he's saying that the nefesh, that's what he was saying before. That what? That the nefesh, when we talk about the tzuras hanefesh, it's really the product. It's really the refined. The nefesh is the abilities. Man has something in him that has a certain ability to perceive and to understand, right? But that's just like a raw material. Says unless the man is considered to have been, it's considered to have been a waste. If he can't take that, if he doesn't take that ability and gain ideas, and when he gains ideas and those ideas become those ideas, the sum of those ideas that he gains, that becomes the tzura of his nefesh.
So it actually starts off empty at the beginning of his life?
It starts off empty. It starts off like chomer, he says. It starts off just like putty. Right? And it's as it gains ideas, as it perceives more and more reality, then it comes to exist in a more in a real way. Now, that's what he meant. That's what I think he means in Chelek, that it's the ideas and the thing itself. It's like the das and the like the Ramas and the Mor. You know, the Yodea and the Yadua and the das. They're all one. Meaning to say that the nefesh, you can't separate the nefesh from the ideas. It's not like
the nefesh is perceiving ideas. It is
correct. Correct. The nefesh is both. You need it to perceive the ideas, but then it become. But then the ideas become part of its very tzura. And the more it perceives of reality, the greater type of an existence that it has. Matt, I was doing something with Matt. I have to ask him again. Matt and Nissan. There's a Rambam, was it in Avos, I think, about that, where he defines also das, the difference between das and over there he also says that the more that you, that's why we say that the more das that the person gains, the more das he's able to gain. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his nefesh is different. In other words, the more you perceive a reality, Now the very tool that you have is improved, and that allows you to perceive more of reality.
Exponential.
Right, like a bodybuilder. Right.
Right.
The more weights he lifts, the stronger he is, and he can lift more weights. So certain activities are like that. The activity itself allows you to do the activity better.
Like exercise.
Right. So, but that means to say, but that only works. That only works. That only works when the tool itself is being improved by the activity, right? So that's what he's saying. That the nefesh really is a certain amount. it's like a somewhat, it's a difficult kind of a concept because it's a dual, it's somewhat of a dual existence. It's a tool, right, but it can also become a repository of knowledge itself. But it never, but even that repository of knowledge still has the quality of tool, right? So it's just like a better, it continues to exist as a better tool. But that's what he means over here in Yesodei Torah. That that's what he means over here. That what?
You know we also have that in terms of knowledge.
You got it.
Is, I mean, I think, like by computers.
Right.
Like, I mean, in terms of like, not the hardware, but like the software part of it, like as you increase the memory of it, so it now can do more, you know what I mean? Because the thing itself becomes included, the new thing becomes included into the original.
Isn't the definition entity of memory?
I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying, with the example of like bodybuilding, that's not knowledge. I'm saying, so here's an
that's
example.
True.
You have a thing where it's more like knowledge.
But the more memory the computer has, it doesn't give it more memory ability.
Like
the more it remembers,
the
more it remembers, doesn't give it more ability to remember.
Gets.
What's that?
Slower gets. Slower gets.
One second.
Maybe I should run my computers.
Harrison?
Nope.
Can barely get to the couch.
Yeah.
Wait, I want 4 Rice Krispie sheets tomorrow. I'm reserving 4.
4 big ones? You should bring me frozen again.
See, that's what he says. It's the Deya. When he says in Yesodei Torah, he says, what is it? It's the Deya. Shehi Tzuras HaNefesh. Now, is the Deya is the Tzuras HaNefesh. What does he mean by that? Means to say that the nefesh itself is, like he says over here in Chelek, is the chomer. The nefesh itself is your ability to perceive the abstract. That's the chomer. That's the substance, in a sense, right? But what's the tzura of the nefesh? It's the knowledge that you have. Now, what's the form of your soul? That depends on the knowledge that you have. The knowledge that you have gained really changes the very form of your soul. That's what he means in Yesodei Torah. That Hada'as ha-yeseira ha-metsuya b'nafsho shel Adam hi tzuras ha-adam ha-sholim b'daito. Right? That's what he means. He means the das in that nefesh, because without the das, the nefesh is just a putty, is just a chomer, right? So you can't speak about the full person, you can't really describe the full person without referencing the das. You understand? Any other thing, whatever is acquired later is not really part of its definition. But by the nefesh, it is. The nefesh really is undefined. It's really a work in progress. And the more the person gains knowledge, that is the tzura of his nefesh. So that's what he means of it. That's why he has such a complicated lashon. He says that he says nefesh called basar he tzuras oshenosan lo hakel. That the regular animal is just the normal, whatever the form that God gave it. That's the nefesh of the animal. Means say, the whole, whatever is responsible for that whole existence.
That doesn't change.
Those are all those 4 things that he had in Chelek, in Avos.
5?
No, because the animal doesn't have the 5th. The animal doesn't have the das. Okay. Right?
They can't improve that. That's just what it is.
That's what it is. Whatever God gave them, that's what it is. To the extent that it was given, that's the extent that it exists. Can't exceed. There can't be any existence beyond what it was given. Right? But by Adam, he says, what is Adam? V'adas ha-yeseira ha-matsuya b'nafsho shel Adam hi tzuras Adam ha-sholim b'daito. But man is more. It's the das that he has. It's Sadas that he has in his neshama, that part of his in his nefesh, excuse me, that's part of his part of his the tzur of his nefesh, and that's what he means over here. He says, "Ela hadeya shehi tzuras hanefesh betzuras ubetzuras hanefesh kasa medaber." Okay. It's interesting. Salmenu kid musenu really is referring to, sadly what I'm saying, it's really referring to the end product. Right?
Well, that thing which is capable of improving itself.
That thing which is capable of becoming the real,
right,
the real knowledge, the real nefesh. So that's what he says over here. He says that thing is completely independent of the body and of the neshama. So what is the neshama? What is he calling the neshama? Sounds like he's calling the neshama here those other four functions that he was talking about in Chelek. That's what it sounds like.
The drives.
Yeah, like the senses and those other things. Like the senses can't exist, or the emotions, all those things only exist with a guf.
So the fifth one is qualitatively different than
the fifth one, he seems to be saying, is qualitatively different. I mean, that's, I think in Chelek he mentions it, there's a big machlokas. Is man's soul have all five as one entity, or is it the four that the animals have plus a separate one?
Right.
Ramban mentions it in Brachos. I think he says the machlokas between Unculus and others.
The Ruach Mahala.
Yeah, because Unculus seems to say it's an additional thing, right? Like Adam was created. Adam was like an animal, and then he got one extra thing, mm-hmm, right? As opposed to saying he was endowed with one nefesh, one instance of a nefesh that has everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's somewhat of a esoteric point. What exactly the difference is, but anyway, that's what the Ram means over here. That function is completely separate from the guf and the neshama.
So even when the guf is gone, that's that, right, will continue.
That's exactly his point, right?
When he says in Chelek, he says kolomar she'osam hanafoshos.
In Chelek, I get confused where I am now. Hold on, Chelek, right?
He says kolomar she'osam hanafoshos.
Is that what we read, or are you reading further?
Does that mean to say like that everything, right, we just said about the ability for this thing to improve itself applies to them also?
No, but they have that. They already have das. It's a good question. I mean, how would they?
It sounds like, you know what I mean?
They already have the
malachim. But like their ability to comprehend things is not given,
they don't
to
change
improvement.
They don't,
whereas
change.
Whereas ours is. Like, that's fine. Like, animals understand, they just don't have it. But like that you can have it, but
yeah,
not...
Yeah, the malachim don't change.
So I'm saying it's like a funny thing, like what...
They're created with das. With the actual... That's a good question. It's a good question. However they're created, they don't change. Once they reach their...
But it's not just a homer, it's a tura?
It's a good question. I have to think about that.
Where can you find a definition for malachim?
In Yisrael Yitzhar. In this parak, beforehand, he talks about the... I think it's in Dal, is that what he talks about? Or maybe it's in Gimel. He has about them all. What's in the beginning of it?
He has the 10 different levels, right?
Right. Right. Okay, so now he says like this. So that's what he means over here. He says... The Omru Nen in Miziva Shechina. So what does it mean that this, so that's what he means, Atrosheim Brosheim. That Klomash, so what does it mean Atrosheim Brosheim? I'm sorry, what does it mean the Nen in Miziva Shechina? Klomash Osam Hanefashos Nenos Bemashem Askilos Minabore. They have an enjoyment in what they perceive from the Creator. Commotion nanos chayos hakodesh v'shar malos amalochim v'mashi iskilu mimitziyuso. Just like the malochim and the others enjoy what they understand from his existence. V'hine ha'osher v'atachlis ha'sofis. So what is the ultimate good? Hi l'hagia el ha'maymer hazeh amroma. The ultimate good is to arrive, is to reach that high level. Ulihimotze ba'oso ha'matzov. To exist in that state. V'kiyo ma'nefesh. And the existence of the soul. Kemosha Amarnu, like we explained, Ad Bli Sof, with no end. B'kiyum HaBore Yisromam Shvacho, with the existence of the Bore, means say eternal existence. I think there was a Girsa, right, with Ki, but that was a wrong. Did we go through that once? Anyway. Shehi Sibas Kiyuma, because the Bore is the cause of its existence. Bashagoso Oso. That was the perception of, it's a complicated thing, we're saying the perception of God is what keeps this thing existing. And just like God is an eternal existence, it will be an eternal existence.
How
now.
Does that follow? Because it's still a distinct thing. I mean, it's that which is perceived.
No, something has to terminate. There's nothing natural.
Yeah.
It's not like a body that was composed and naturally decomposes. It is a steady state. That state is a permanent state. Of course, it doesn't mean that God can't put it out of existence.
Right.
But there's nothing in
the nature
existence.
Of its existence.
Exactly. The nature of its existence is that it exists via its perception of God. And as God let's not get into Aristotle. But as God is going to, as God is, he's saying, is eternal, so too this type of existence. V'zeu atov ha'otzum she'ein tov la'kisho eila v'lo oneg l'dmuso bo. Says that's the powerful, that's the good, that there's nothing to compare to, and there's no pleasure to compare to. How could you compare an eternal existence with something that ceases? Right? For your good, and you should have long days. What does it mean? That's Olam Haba. Okay, that's Olam Haba. And then the Vanakama Gemara, he should tikores hanefesh v'tovat v'shelo yeh lo kiyum. Who are kores ha'amur b'torah? And the kores is that you should cease to exist. Alright. Let's stop here. It's not going to get any much further. Alright, think about this idea of nefesh. I'll take a look at this. It's an interesting idea.